Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible study in the book of Ephesians. Bible study teacher Beth Seifert has today's lesson. And, of course, don't forget the Bible study notes and questions to help you dig deeper. Those can be found on our website, naomistable.com. Let's open up God's Word and begin.
Today will be in day 13 of our study through the book of Ephesians. And today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. I've titled this lesson, Who Are You Imitating? So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Okay, there's another therefore, so we have to find out what it's there for. Since you are putting on Christ as beloved children of God, be imitators of God. Imitate him. That doesn't mean that you can create new worlds, but think about it. Think about how our kids learn as little ones. They learn to play mimicking what they see. So they play house, church, work, and that one always makes me giggle because they'll say, I'm off to work, and then 2 seconds later, I'm home, because they don't know what goes on at work, but they know they have to go. They'll play school, those kinds of things. In the same way, we are to imitate God because we want to grow up to be like him. And imitating means walking in love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. That's the imitation that he's talking about, learning to live sacrificial lives, lives not focused on the temporal but the eternal. Jesus is not only our priest, but the sacrifice offered for our sins. As his followers, we should strive to imitate God simply because he loves us so extravagantly. He is a mighty, mighty God. And Christ's sacrifice of himself to God was accepted by God. It was a fragrant offering, pleasing to God, paying for our sins. There isn't anything more to do. It's already been done. Paul then lists things that are evidence that we are not imitating God. And look at how he does that. He says that these things should not even be named among the believers. Ladies, that means we are to avoid getting ourselves into situations where these kinds of things could be associated with what we are doing. All kinds of sexual immorality, all kinds, ladies, not just the big one that you might think of, but all sexual activity outside of marriage as defined by God, one man and one woman. All impurity. Impurity is anything that is not pure, has been mixed with something else to create a new substance. Anything that we indulge in or dwell on that isn't honoring to God. And covetousness, which is truly idolatry, worshiping something besides God. Filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking. Coarse joking here is not humor in general. God has a great sense of humor. This is talking about jokes that are hurtful, that degrade things that God has called to be kept undefiled, like making sexual innuendos or potty humor. These things are out of place with God's people, yet how often do we hear an inappropriate joke or comment made by a brother or sister and everybody chuckles? Yikes! We excuse those things while ignoring this command to keep our mouths from that type of speech and to keep ourselves pure, which means we shouldn't be listening to that kind of speech either. And remember again how he started off verse 3. These things shouldn't even be named among the saints. So living with someone you are not married to? It doesn't even matter if nothing is happening sexually. Don't put yourself into a position where the hint of immorality can be adhered to you. Don't do it. Everyone's tendencies are a little different. So if your tendency is toward alcohol abuse, avoid alcohol at all costs. If your tendency is for gossip, Don't even listen to any information that you might be tempted to pass on in a gossiping manner. The thing that is appropriate is thanksgiving. Those who do those other things aren't part of God. Their actions bear them out. They are living for their flesh, not for God. It is because of these evil things that God's wrath is upon the sons of disobedience, or in other words, the world. Only a false teacher would claim that Christians can live unrepentant, sinful lives and not experience any harmful consequences. Note what I said there, unrepentant, sinful lives. We are all still going to sin. But what do you do when you sin? Do you shrug your shoulders and say, "Oh, well, we'll go on sinning so that God's grace can increase"? No, we are to repent and to imitate Christ and to be transformed into new creations. Ladies, we must also be wary of empty words, especially when they tug at your emotions. Be wary of empty promises. Do not join in with those who give you empty words. When you speak, make your words make a difference. Make sure that your words are not empty. I'm reminded that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. And this is just such a time. We are to be different. When we speak, it should matter. When we talk, it should not be empty. We need to bring our every thought, word, and deed under God's control. Let your words mean something. Let them not be empty praise or empty threats either. When you speak, let it mean something, and let your words be edifying to others and, most of all, glorifying to God. I have to say the biggest thing that caught me here today was when Paul was addressing how we should talk. I know James goes into much more detail there, but look at this. Filthiness and crude joking. Oh, ladies, so much of what is on TV these days is filled with these sexual references, these crass comments. How can we, as Christ followers, watch those things, filling our heads with them without even batting an eye? Those things should make us cringe and turn the TV off. In our house, we haven't watched TV in over 2 years, and I have to tell you, I haven't missed it. I truly haven't. Now, don't get me wrong, there are things that we do watch, but we don't actually have the ability to watch any network shows, and we're fine with that. We need to be more aware of what we say and what we allow to come into our minds, and we need to be far more intentional about avoiding those things instead of shrugging them off. We need to realize that those things stick in our minds. Whatever we put in will come right back out, and we'll start to consider those things as acceptable. And right here, we see that they are not acceptable. This isn't this show is okay because they only do that sometimes, or I only tell those jokes to a handful of people. No, those things are inappropriate. They aren't good for a laugh. They're harmful. I'll tell you the truth. Much of what I used to shrug off or even chuckle at, I now wonder how I ever thought was funny. I can't help but shake my head and cringe when I hear those things. So consider this list today. Consider the things in your life that you covet. The coarse jokes that you share or chuckle at, the ways in which we tell ourselves we aren't really sinning, especially when we see right here that those things are harmful to our walk with God. They keep us from Him, and they focus our attention on ourselves. Are you avoiding even the appearance of evil, or are you justifying yourself as you behave in ways that sully the name of the one who died to set you free from sin? What are you placing in front of Christ? What comes first to you? That TV show that makes you laugh, even when the jokes are coarse? That movie that makes you cry, even when it is empty of anything of value, but it tugs at your emotions? Remember, God's wrath is upon the sons of disobedience. Are you still justifying filling your mind with those things that dishonor God? Or are you truly setting aside the old woman and putting on Christ? You can find the notes to this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com. Day 13. Who are you imitating?